10, 9, 8, 7, 6,
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, yeah. That was the famous sounds of the KDNK Labor of Love auction back in the day. And I have a great group of women in the studios now because it seems to me, it appears that the Labor of Love auction was spearheaded by amazing women in the community. I have Marianne Ackerman, otherwise known as Mary Ellen Housewife. Is that correct?
That is my, is this mic work?
Yeah.
That is my radio name.
Mary Ellen
I'm
Housewife?
I'm just a housewife. I don't know.
Brenda Buchanan and Kath Rich.
Hi.
And Megan Passamore, who's representing the present Labor of Love. And in the last, how many years have you been doing this off and on?
Like six, seven?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No,
ten? More.
Yeah. And the Labor of Love auction is coming up on December 6th, my birthday, I want to mention.
How old are you going to be, Amy?
I am going to be 39. It's amazing.
So
and
everyone should spend like $39.
Oh, well, maybe I should tell my real age then. if it's going to be about money. Labor of Love auction is a live auction now.
Well, there's all sorts of auctions going on now.
Okay, it's got many levels.
We have the silent auction.
Ooh, a silent.
That, you know, the papers are out on the tables with the items.
Uh-huh.
And that is at Thunder River Theater,
right.
Friday the 6th. Then in the midst of the silent auction, there is a live auction hosted by DeWalrus and Muggsy Faye.
Perfect.
And that's from 7 to 8 on that first Friday.
At the same place?
At the same place.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then, when it's all said and done at the Friday night, there is also an online option.
Ah, and so the online option comes after the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, so in the old days, it used to be done a little differently, and it was a live auction done on air. And Brenda, you are the oldest of the OGs here, and... So how many years did you do the auction? Can you remember?
Seven.
Seven?
Because that's how long I work here. And it had kind of started, I think, the year before when I was involved. But I think it was Irene Friedman that started.
Oh.
But it sort of morphed into an auction from just being a fundraiser. Like, for instance, we were on the radio all night long to raise money, and John Fulcroft vowed to get a Grateful Dead tattoo on his chest to the next person that called in and gave $100. So then we just started doing Labor of Love, changing, having people sell themselves,
right,
to other people. And that was really fun because, you know, somebody would do your yard work, somebody would paint your walls, and I'm sure Billy Bob's done that too.
Right.
Electric work or plumbing or...
So, massage.
Yeah, so it's labor intensive, that's for sure.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, we probably still have a lot of that kind of stuff in the auction now, right, Megan?
Yeah, I would say it's coming back too. There's been quite a few offers of making food.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cheshire Cat is offering to make you fried chicken.
Ooh.
And another community member, Joni Matrenga, she's going to make you some lasagna.
I've had that lasagna before. She used to do that, and I bought one, and it was amazing.
It's coming back.
Yay.
Oh, wow.
And the ever-famous chocolate torch, chocolate orgasmic torch.
Oh, right. That's right.
Susie
she's been
Ellison.
Susie. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. So then, Brenda, as it became more official, Marianne, you came on, you guys started creating a pamphlet that had everything that was for sale, right?
Yes, and people would pore over the pamphlet, and tune in each night for, I think it was like 2 or 2.5 hours that they were doing category after category. Mm-hmm. We'd have four people, different people every night, out in the studio, what is it, our little...
Their lobby part,
with little sticky notes for when the bids get called in, and it was just, you know, flying sticky notes, and it was nuts, but it was real fun. And there weren't so many auctions then.
Right.
So we just, you know, had our way. It was fun.
And there was crazy bidding wars. Uh-huh. People were holding people on the phones to up each other's bids. It got nuts.
Yeah.
I actually bought a child once.
You bought a child? Whose child?
I did. I bought a play date with Maya Lindblom.
I do remember that item.
When she was a baby, there was a bidding war for that.
That's right.
And I was running the auction, and I was in here, and I had a plant.
Hey, Kat, have you considered a cabinet position?
No, they'd get rid of me immediately.
good one. Well, I mean, there are so many good stories. It was crazy because the phone bank, I mean, now it's hard to even imagine 4 or 5 phones out there in the lobby and people answering them and sticky notes flying. And there was always like a person out there that was live on air that would like give the updates of the sticky notes. And then there were the hosts in here. Cowboy Randy was a big host. Who were some of the other? Mary Ellen, you were a host, right?
I did. Mary Ellen Housewife did step in and host from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Wick Moses.
Yes.
Kat, you were a host, right?
I was. You were a host.
I was a host. Yeah, those were funny days. And each night it'd be a different threesome. Barry, I remember Barry was always great. Barry,
the funny guy.
Yeah, the funny guy.
Was our darling.
Yeah.
What was his last name?
I think it was Barry Smith.
That's it. Barry Smith. It's hard to remember those simple names.
Yeah. and it's a little hard to remember any name for me. but you know, this when we first started it, it was kind of before the internet was a thing. So
right.
that's what's really made it different, because it was just call up. Come by or call up or come by. Yeah.
It was crazy days, and we would have food here. I remember one incident where there was something in the food that I think Megan had to get a ride home. And all I know is I turned on the radio, and all I could do was hear the hosts laughing, and they couldn't talk.
Because they were laughing.
they were trying to sell, I think, a vasectomy at that time. And,
yeah, exactly. That's the kind of stuff. Yeah.
It was a complete breakdown, and you just never know. Never know. But I think that was towards the end of the live auction. That might have ended the live auction.
I think that's when we also stopped having volunteers cook for the staff.
So, Megan, what kind of crazy stuff have you got this year that you can think of off the top of your head?
Crazy stuff. That's a great question. Oh, yeah. Should we talk about that?
Sure. I don't know
anything
about it.
Oh, yeah. We have a really cool saddle that Molly and Steve Childs donated. They were driving down, and I think they were going to drop it off at Habitat, but they heard the promo that I had made, and Molly just wheeled in to KD&K and dropped it off. So it's a really cool, like, old leather saddle with embroidery on it.
Is it a Western saddle or a...
Well, I'm not a horse person, so I'm the wrong person to ask.
So what would make it crazy is the way you would use it, I guess.
shut up. I remember one time we had a goat cart. I don't know who we talked into giving us, an authentic goat cart. And I don't know if it got a lot of money or anything. It's kind of maybe something you'd have in your yard. But we just go out of the way to find weird stuff. We had a trip for two to Negril, Jamaica.
Whoa.
Because I just called on the phone and said, you don't know me, but I'm not even Brenda, and I live in Carbondale. And they just did it. So
wow.
You never know.
Yeah, that's true.
And we had that Yalapa in Palapa in Yalapa.
Oh, which did you get?
I did. I took my family. It was epic.
Was that you that gave it?
I did. I gave the palop and yalop, and I was there to greet them when they came. Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. Do we have any trips this year?
We do have, a 2-night stay in a place in Costa Rica.
Ooh, see, that's what, nice. Now we're talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did a member or have a place, or how'd that work?
It's a family member of mine.
Yeah.
My aunt and uncle have a place down in Costa Rica.
So great. That's nice. So great.
Yeah. They've offered it up, so.
That's great. So, Kat, what were some of your favorite things? Do you remember from your time of doing the auction?
Well, the vibrator vasectomy package, but it was just a vibrator by then, because I inherited the auction in 2008, about 2 weeks after the economy crashed.
Mm-hmm.
So things weren't as flush back then, but the vibrator was good. The play date with Maya Lindblom, I believe. The Chameleon and Merle would donate a day's sail on the Tonic.
Ooh.
Where they would cook for you and sail you around. That was pretty fun.
Ooh.
And we always had a lot of very eclectic art.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely every year art. I remember, I think one of my favorite years, and it was really fun putting the catalog together, Marianne, was the year that Hunter S. Thompson died. And then Anita Thompson, his widow, donated all these fake rocks from his funeral that people were calling from all over the country and paying big bucks for these fake rocks from Hunter's funeral. It was amazing. It was a great boom for KDNK.
I think one of my favorite labor of love items, though, was Terry Glassnap used to offer an afternoon skiing in his favorite secret places in sunlight.
Oh, did you ever do that?
I actually bought it, but then I think Terry got injured and wasn't able to ski that year, so I was never able to clear it up. You know,
we better find out from Terry.
Those were the fun, like,
he owes you big time.
Special things that people used to donate.
Huh. Marianne, what were some other things that you remember? I mean, I just remember putting together the catalog with you. It was weeks and weeks of very detailed work.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was, you know, we kept a database like they do now of all the auction items, and a database of all the bidders. And so there was a lot of data crunching that had to go on, and then translating that into the little flyers that we sent out, which always had a creative theme. Like, I remember that Hunter S. Thompson one had the Gonzo logo on the front. You know, there were so many great items. And I will admit that I was a member of Auction Anonymous because there was quite a few of us clearly.
Talk about the dolls, Marianne.
An auction problem. Yeah, I bought a doll. Which isn't
After
quite
your kids
as
were grown.
Yeah, it's not as risky as buying a child, Kat.
No.
But there was, you know, crunching the numbers and doing the billing afterwards. There was definitely a group of people that had a little problem.
Yes,
and were spending a lot of money.
Oh my God, what was the woman's name down in Marble? Oh gosh, she would call.
And just keep bidding.
Her name began with an L, I think, her first name. Anyways.
And then Emma Danzinger was quite a bidder.
Oh, was she?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She bought, we auctioned ourselves off as the KDNK caterers, and it was me and whoever I could round up, which turned out to be about 30 people. And Emma Danzinger mm-hmm. bought us for a big party on her ranch, and we did an all-day gypsy camp. Oh, so fun. I mean, Emma, just, you know, what a place.
Yeah, well, those were the days when, I don't know, it seemed like we had more time. Now, people just don't have time to spend all day on gypsy camp at Emma Danzinger's
ranch. Well, I didn't say anybody came, but we were all there.
Well, so Megan, now as you're putting together this year's auction, and you've done about the last seven, what are some memorable things for you?
Well, I was going to point to, like, we were talking about the art, And then I was going to point to like how the art then kind of morphed the auction into the in-person. Because we had all this art that was really hard to describe over the airwaves. And we're like, well, let's just do a first Friday event at the Village Smithy and have a place to put all the art so people could, you know, we'll have everything else on the airwaves, but we'll have a one night with artwork. And that was kind of the birthing of the one-night event.
Did you know that there was a live art auction before that?
Yeah.
That was part of Labor Love? Elisa Onmacht and I were working on it together. And it was kind of separate from the Labor of Love, but in a similar time frame.
I didn't
so it was
know
just like
that
its
either.
Own thing.
It was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I remember we had good luck with art, which we have so many artists in the community. So many would-be artists in the community, and we get all this art, and there was sometimes a few pieces of art that didn't sell. Oh, it was just so delicate a subject.
That's right. Yeah, the same.
Well, the Kaden K. Walls are decorated with quite a few, I believe, Labor of Love donations.
I bet.
That's why, you know, we should just go back to doing an art heist like Carbondale Arts did after the auction so people then can come get more art. Yeah. Well, last year I got an e-bike at the Labor of Love auction, wow, which I absolutely love. I love how in the auction we say we won that, but we didn't really win
it. We paid good money for it.
But it felt good to be able to like get an e-bike and then know that all that big chunk of money was going to KDNK. That was pretty cool.
That is something to point out, is that every single item is donated. So every penny that you pay for that goes directly to KDNK. And yeah, it might just be like a $50 gift certificate to City Market, which you're probably going to spend $50 there anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if it goes up to $60, again, it all goes to KDNK.
And there are all those people that with the problem that will pay $65 for a $60 gift certificate to City Market.
I do think if you think about it, like you're giving to KDNK, then, you know, all those things are priceless, right?
That's right. So then how does the on-air auction work this year? Or it's just online, no on-air?
Well, so we are going to bring back 1 hour. It's a little bit to be determined.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because the Friday the 13th, we're going to do from 6 to 7. It may just be like giving an live update of what's happening, but depending on what items make their way into the final moments of the KDNK auction. I might pull like 10 items and do a live.
And that's just because you want to play the saber dance when it's done, right?
Yeah. Gotta love the saber dance.
I mean, we haven't been able to play the saber dance in like 5 years.
Oh, and there was the countdown.
That's why I just played it. Yeah, the countdown was like, it was so nerve-wracking during the thing. Like everyone was like trying to get their calls in and the phones would be busy. And I do think that's where it's different. Like people that did have to go to Auction Anonymous, it was really that immediate connection because it would run 5 nights in a row. I mean, KDNK programming.
That was it. Yeah.
You know, it took over the airwaves. And I remember we'd get like truckers driving on I-70 that would come, you know, on, the, you know, just turn on KDNK and then they'd be calling in from their trucks. And it was a very interactive in the moment thing. Which is a little different. So there's probably not as many addicts, you know, with a one-night event. I think what happened is people just got really into that, like, immediacy of calling and trying to get through and that saber dance going and everybody, like, freaking out. Or sometimes the phones would be really quiet.
Well, no, I think we did some fake phone ringing.
Oh, Brenda. Yeah. That was a good move.
Sorry. Ring, ring, ring. Hello.
But you know, Amy, there's still a lot of KDNK addicts.
That's true.
Out there.
That's true. So if you're a KDNK addict, that's exactly correct. Well, Kat, were you the one that then moved it
to the rec center?
Yes.
Yes.
So then it became a really big event for a while.
Because we had a theory that the same 250 addicts were basically buying the same, you know, the same stuff. And we decided that maybe if we just condensed it all into one night and put it all in one room, that it would increase sales. And I think for the time, it was actually a pretty good idea, because back then, you know, economy was down pretty hard. But it didn't have the same amount as anticipatory fun. Mm-hmm. But I think for the time, it worked.
Yeah. And sure. I mean, even now in the modern day, it's probably harder because people are so connected to their devices or going out. But the event at Thunder River is really fun. What else is going to be happening there?
So we're definitely going to do the live auction was a first last year, and I think it was a big hit. It was just great to have, you know, in the moment bidding wars going on, kind of like, you know, reminded me of the phone days of like, no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So last year we auctioned off, I'm trying to think, Brian Colley had just come out with his comic book.
Yeah.
So that was one of the items. There was a great old like kind of Mountain Fair cruiser, and Philosophical Debate with the vice president of the board, Jonathan Stokely.
How did that go?
I think it went for like $300. Wow. I forget. No. I don't remember those
that's
numbers.
Good.
But
that's,
you know,
very
so
philosophical.
It was, yeah, we were having a lot of fun.
Oh, I'd pay $200 not to do that. I am on a budget and everything.
So we'll see. We'll see what comes this year.
We sold a pot-bellied pig.
Oh, I remember that.
I don't know.
What happened to that poor pig?
Probably got to be a real giant 400-pound pig.
I know.
Pot-bellied bacon.
Well,
I can't remember. It's been too long ago. But, you know, it's good for marketing and getting attention if you can do, you know.
Crazy stuff.
And a pot-bellied pig was good.
Well, so this year, how will people, what's the protocol? When do we?
Register now.
Register, so we can register now. Okay, good.
Are you still taking items from, you know?
Depends on what it is.
very
on a case by case basis.
Very smart answer.
Brenda's asking because she has a really old pot-belly pig.
I will take a pot-belly pig.
Awesome. Okay. And then December 6th, from what time to what time at Thunder River?
Starts at 5 and we'll go until 8:15.
There you have it, folks. So this year you can have as much fun as we have had in all the past years. And, you know, I think there was a saying sometimes that it's kind of like what stays in Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And there are definitely stories that what happens at the auction stays in our memories or fades.
See, fades. That's it.
It fades. But, gosh, so many great stories. And all of you were such a big part of it. And I just thought it'd be fun to get together and kind of tell that history, because you will be hearing a lot about the auction on KDNK coming up, but you will only hear this incredible history right here on Express Yourself. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Miss Amy.
And thank you for all you did for the auction for all those years.
Oh, it was my pleasure. That's really how I got to know Mary Ann. That was like my
that's
first.
That's how I got to know you, too.
That's how I got to know Mary. Mary Ann, when we were doing it, Mary Ann would wear her bathrobe for 4 or 5 days. She was so into it.
Well, I was just a housewife.
Oh, that's yeah. Right.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys. Here, I'm going to play a little music from Cool, playing tonight at Tuck Hall. Thank you. Oh, yeah. It's going to be some fun at Takal tonight. And also just need to mention that you can catch Sweet Jessup and the Dirty Buckets and Tommy and the Animal up at the Belly Up tonight. So lots of fun to be had. Well, now we have an interview that I pre-recorded with Terry Glasnap. He is curated a show, Paperboy Ambitions. It's a multimedia group exhibit at the Glenwood Springs Arts Council, and it features his family. So that includes Amy Levinson, Terry Glasnap, Devin, Aaron, Adrian, and Emily Glasnap, as well as Sarah, Ada, Bridget Gordon, Joan Rankin, Shane Wynn, and Saz Duran. So let's hear a little bit from Terry. We mentioned him before. He is the town historian, and so it's really great to be able to hear about what he's got going. Here we go. You're tuned in to KDNK. This is Express Yourself. Hi, Terry. Welcome to Express Yourself.
Good afternoon, Amy Kimberly. Thank you for making time for me.
Oh, you bet. You bet. You have been a collector for all your adult life?
Pretty much. And collect is a good word because it started as a newspaper boy. And we would go to people's homes and we would say to them, knock on the door and say, collect 40 cents. And my folks were newspaper readers. And I kind of picked it up. I never said it. Lots of reasons for that. And so the paper, reading it through most of my life, and at several key points, something I read in a newspaper or saw on a flyer kind of shifted the direction in my life. First one that I can think of, a band is coming to my hometown, Rochester, Minnesota. They're called the Blues Magoos. They had one hit, We Ain't Got Nothing Yet, in about 66 or 7.
I remember that song.
I took it on myself because I was making posters, imaginary, all the bands I wanted to come to my town. Can you guess who some of those bands would be in 1967?
Jimi Hendrix?
Jimmy.
Janis Joplin.
Big Brother.
Big Brother, Rolling Stones, Beatles.
My posters featured those bands. So I had a few of them, and I got the lucky break to meet with the promoter. He offered me a trade to make a banner for the stage for two tickets. So I got to see the Blues Magoos, one-time hit for me, too. And then my job at CMC came from seeing something on a flyer. Yeah. I saw a flyer presents a discussion about the new CMC solar building in Glenwood. This was like 82. A couple of years later, it's up. I'm washing dishes at the Smithy 2 in Glenwood Springs. Uh-huh. And I decide I got to try something. And then another magic happened.
You got the job at CMC.
I did.
Well, let's talk about the show because it's a family exhibit and it's in multimedia. So explain the family and the multimedia.
Four of the creatives involved are in my family. A couple kids, a couple grandkids, and then some art that's done collaboratively between my daughter Sarah and her daughter, my granddaughter Ada.
Oh, nice.
They made some pieces together. So those are the multimedias that we have. What else adds to that is my fascination with cultural history. Carbondale Mountain Fair hired me to help assemble boxes and masses of material. And then CMC hired me when they hit 50 years to make to help with a film. I was a co-producer. Worked with KDNK when we hit 40.
With this mixture of history and art. This is at the Glenwood Springs Arts Council. How do you have it laid out? Like, are there hands-on things, wall hangings?
Hands-on, the binders. Mm-hmm. These art folio, oversized binders, they're my go-to. You can tell a big story with posters. So people can page through, you know, in a minute or two, you can scan through things that go back to the 60s, the 80s, up to, you know, Ringo Starr and Grand Junction in the exhibit. And these binders, when I discovered them, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, they really helped me filter the collections into something shareable.
And what's so great about looking at all this, while it's not, you know, we're so used now to looking at screens. People look at screens for things. They Google things. It's so visceral. You know, it's right there. You can feel it. Looking at old newspapers, you not only see the article, but then you see all the other things that were happening around then too. I mean, even the ads for the cost of things, you know, you're like, oh my God, it only cost $7.50 to go to a concert in the 60s. And it's a lot more now.
I found this book, Los Angeles Times, front pages, 1881 to 1981. And they were selected. But to look at those from the 1880s, and see the print, the font, tiny, no pictures. Mm-hmm. But the evolution of newspapers is in that book, and it will be in the exhibit. I think of myself as an unofficial preservative for news, things on paper.
And events, because you're very event-centric.
I have been the lucky one. My buddy Dennis Horton, and he had a car. He drove us to Woodstock. Couldn't have done it without Dennis.
The Woodstock?
The Woodstock, yes. Oh,
so you were one of those naked people running around?
No. I was wearing a kimono.
Oh.
And I kind of missed that part of it. We had the mud.
Uh-huh.
We had the rain. We had, and it was Santana that was the most, Santana and Richie Havens, most impact.
So when did you arrive in the Valley here? What year?
76. And one of the regrets and errors that I made in the early days, I was offered a job running a theater that was in the basement where the Italian Underground is.
Oh.
And a CMC theater teacher was kind of running, I can't remember what it was called, and he offered the job as a manager. And the only managing experience I had was managing the Mayo Park Folk Festival with 6 performers and 10 people in the audience.
So you turned it down?
I did. I just didn't feel like I had the skills. So I ended up working for CMC.
Which, I mean, gosh, are you one of the longest employees of CMC?
I think there are a few of us in the 42 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm only 39. So
you started young.
You too.
No, you're still collecting, as we see, since you have Ringo Starr in there.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the photographs that are in the show? Like
Amy has a couple or three in. And then one of my sons, Aaron, has been very fortunate in that he's traveled a lot in the West, Western U.S. and Canada. Well, he's a climber, so he goes to amazing places. And he started sending me, you know, little photos on his phone to me. Mm-hmm. And then some of them were just so mind-blowing to me, these massive ice snow formations, unlike anything I'd ever seen, like a spire of snow. And then my grandson, who grew up here in Newcastle, this is Devin Glassnap, went to CMU, studied business. Cassie, his girlfriend for a few years has been converting him to the national parks and travel and camping and taking photos.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent me a few. And then when I started formulating the show, some people wanted to be.
Right.
Some people have been convinced.
Mm-hmm.
And the photos are mostly landscape, some detail work, and some, those areas mostly from nature.
I wondered what the reception was when you reached out.
Well, I want to give you a shout out on this very subject because thanks to you, the understanding of what is art and who is an artist and then kind of the transition to a creative. I didn't really tune in or know about that until I heard you use it and then the creative district
mm-hmm.
that you were a primary force in bringing to Carbondale.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think expanding our view and making it a bigger tent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put, instead of artists, it's creative participants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I've asked each one to write a bio, short bio, and those will be at the exhibit. And I want to welcome people to this exhibit called Paperboy Ambitions, Glenwood Springs Arts Council Gallery. It's
216 East 6th Street.
Downtown Glenwood by the Hotel Colorado,
mm-hmm.
up through December 29th, a reception for the public and the creative participants on December 7th, 2 to 5 on a Saturday afternoon.
That'll be fun.
We'll have some refreshments and welcome to folks that are interested in cultural history, history of the arts, music, literature, poetry, iconic news events. We've got these binders you can look through. And for some people, it rouses up memories.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it's like new stuff. I think mm-hmm. for younger people, this is a goal, to have some younger people come in, students,
mm-hmm.
high school history students, CMC history students, and see what their reaction is. Because frequently, history gets more interesting as we age.
It could open up a lot of stories for different generations if they come see the show together and then like, oh, yes, I remember that. Or a lot of your stuff really captures more locational stuff and primarily this area, though you have some Santa Cruz stuff. And you do have the Mayo Park in there, which I also want to mention that this is co-sponsored by Glenwood Springs Historical Society as well as the Arts Council.
Yeah, Bill jumped on board. Thank
awesome.
You, Bill. And thanks to the Historical Society. Thanks to Glenwood Springs Arts Council. And thanks to KDNK. Thanks
right.
to Colorado Mountain College. Thanks to Amy Kimberly.
Well, it was good to be able to help create a lot of the things that are in your show. Actually, as I looked through some of your things, I was like, oh, yeah, I did that. I worked that. I worked Lions Folks Festival. And so it's very fun for me to look through it for sure. Gallery hours, everybody, is Thursday through Sunday, 2 to 6 p.m. And once again, the artist reception is Saturday, December 7th, 2 to 5.
And feel free to dress up, wear costumes, because it's close to the pool. Bathing suits are not advised, but we will provide like a limo to anyone who comes in a bathing suit.
Be careful what you say. Well, thanks so much, Terry, for coming with us today and sharing the history that you have collected over the years. And the good news is I think this will be your legacy. We will always honor this history that you have collected. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Terry Glassnap. Thank you to everyone who's come on Express Yourself today. I'm just playing a little London Symphony Saber Dance behind us. We are about to go, but it's a big week. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I know we are thankful for all of you here at KDNK. Enjoy.
Red.